I mean, y'all know the Bible says God wants to give you the desires of your heart. Amen? He doesn't say he doesn't want to give you the things that he desires for. He says he wants to give you the desires of your heart. Right? Your desires. Things that you like. I guarantee we could take a poll in here right now of different things, and all of us would probably have different likes. Right? We'd all have different desires. And it's funny that God doesn't say, no, you have to be like this or you have to be like that. He says, I want to give you every desire. Amen? Can I tell y'all a story right quick? I'm going to anyway, so I just don't know why I ever ask. Well, I'm getting ready to tell my story. Turn in your Bibles. Get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to 1 Kings 19. I want to tell you something funny that happened to me today. You know, God never forgets. He never forgets your desires. We do. We give up on prayers. We give up on desires. We pray about things and then we forget about it and go on. And then maybe we think about it again, whatever. But anyway, I don't know exactly how long ago, but I'm going to guess it's, 5 to 7 years ago. And y'all are just going to laugh at this, but that's okay. You just laugh at me. I was in a gun shop. And it was one of those deals that I was just a few minutes late to a great deal, And a person had come into this gun shop, and they had a gun that they had sold it for, pretty well under market price. And then by the time it got into the gun dealer's hands and I got in there, it was up to, retail price. And so anyway, I was looking at the gun and I just fell in love with this gun. I mean, it just like it beckoned me. It called me. It had my name on it. And it came from something from childhood that I had been with my father, and we'd been in a gun show, and he was talking about, guns and all this. And I'd seen this gun and I'd always wanted this gun. And so anyway, I didn't have the money for it then. And then as time went by and I saw it and there it was laying in front of me, just the most pristine thing you could ever look for. It was an old gun. And so, they don't make them anymore. And so you couldn't buy a new one. And anyway, and so I looked at it and it was just perfect. It was just whatever. And so, we tried to negotiate a price and I didn't like the price and I didn't have any money anyway, and I was just standing there just, whatever. So anyway, then I started trying to trade guns that I had for this gun, and, I couldn't make a deal work, and I was getting the short end of the stick and didn't like it. And so, so finally I went home, and I was just moping around complaining about this thing, and Laura said, well, you ought to just go down there and get it. Just go do something crazy. Just go down there. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. It's irresponsible and this and that and the other. And so after about a week went by, I finally couldn't stand anymore. So I went back down there to see if I could do some more horse trading. And somebody came in there and bought it. It was gone. So I just said, oh, well, thank God. It's gone. I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's gone. And, I'll never see another one again. And today, it's 5 or 7 years later, I have never thought about it again since that day. And a person came up and said, hey, I'm trying to sell a gun. And, I was wondering if you'd be interested. And it was the gun. I thought it was the exact one. I thought it was actually the serial numbered exact one I had looked at 7 years ago. And then I got to looking at it and it wasn't, but it was the exact, exact gun. I mean, same model, same everything. Dan, and I believe this one was nicer than the other one I was looking at. And so I said to the guy, first a person told me about it, and he said, oh, he never trades. He just wants, cash and whatever. I said, I don't believe that. So anyway, long story short, and by the time the horse trading was over with today, I had sold him stuff and was doing better and got the gun that I wanted and made money. Now, the point is not about, because I look at that thing, you got to understand, that thing went in my gun cabinet. Probably never be shot, and it'll sit there, and every time I have a discouraging day, I'll pull it out and I'll look at it, and I'll say, God never forgets his promises. And he said he blesses us with desires, and even when I forget about it. And I'll look at that as a cherished piece of Holy Ghost, miraculous miracle in my life. And someday I'll give it to my I don't know, I'll probably pass my son up. He ain't going to get it. He left, so he didn't get it. He could have got it, but he left. It'll go to my grandkids, you know, they can fight over it. But I'll tell them. I'll sit down and tell them, this is a miracle that God did. Because you just couldn't do it. It's just impossible for this thing to be, to have the same thing twice in your life. It's a miracle. And so anyway, I just wanted to just use that story to prod you and tell you that God's got things that you have given up on praying about. Desires that you had, things that you want to see, miracles you wanted to see done that you have prayed about and forgot about that God never forgot about. And he'll bring it all to pass. And you just wake up one morning and there it'll be just staring you in the face. Just got to keep going. Just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Amen? And so that takes me to this story here of 1 Kings 19. The story of the time we find of Elijah's life that he had just gone and heard God and he did these great miracles and called fire down from heaven and all the prophets of Baal had been killed and everything had taken place. But there was this woman named Jezebel. And Jezebel sent word to him that she was going to kill him. She didn't say it. She sent word to him. She sent some messengers down there and said, "We're going to just tell him I'm going to take his head off." And fear struck Elijah's heart. And Elijah ran. He left his servant. He left everything. He just had the grace. I mean, he just saw a miracle. He saw rain come. He saw fire come down from heaven. Saw all of Israel revival turn. He saw himself run before the chariots. He saw all these miracles happen. But when one woman spoke to him, she didn't utter the words. The servant did. It threw fear in his heart, and he left and ran off. And a lot of times in life, we're trying to believe God, we're trying to walk, and we're trying to do, and stay firm and strong in our walk with the Lord and doing what he's wanting us to do and believing God for things. And then it just takes sometimes that one Jezebel spirit to speak to you. And it'll get you off course. Just one. Now, I know all of y'all are strong, unbelievable, mighty men and women of God, but oh, Elijah, man, he just saw some miracles take place. I find it hard to believe that he didn't just stand up and say, "You tell that old hussy to get out here. I'll show her who's going to get whose head cut off." Right? I mean, the dude called fire down from heaven in a rain and outran a horse's on chariots. And they say he was a short, fat man. Bald-headed, short, fat man. And he outran the chariot. That was the miracle. You know, if he looked like, you know, long-legged Slim and outran the chariots, they could say, "Oh, Slim, he fast. Boy, he fast." But if you looked like he did, you know, and you did it, then you say, that's got to be God. Right? So sometimes you can be at those mountaintop experiences in life and you've been with God and you think that you're impenetrable. But there's a Jezebel spirit that could come in and just speak one word into your ear and get you completely off. Now watch this. He goes, and I don't want to take time to read it all, but he goes and he goes into the desert and he actually wants God to kill him. Wants just to die. And so God takes him, and the angel comes, and he gives him some angel food. Okay, and it's the gospel, man. And it was, and he didn't need anything to eat for 40 days. That was another miracle. Anyway, and so he goes, and then he ends up in the mountain of God. And let's just pick the story up in Verse 11. And he said, "Now go out and he stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great strong wind tore the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind." A lot of times in life, there's a lot of, you know, just smoke blowing is what I call it. Y'all with me? There's a lot of preachers today, and it seems to be changing. Maybe I just don't watch as much preachers on television as I used to, but it seems to me to be changing, that there's not quite as many smoke blowers out there as there used to be. Now, you know what I mean by a smoke blower? I mean, they got lots of shout, got lots of spit flying, got lots of fluff, got lots of drama, but I want to see the results. Are with me? And so the wind came by, and a lot of times in life, we want to find God in that. You know? We want to find God in the dramatic. But he says in this instance, he wasn't in it. Doesn't say he's not ever going to be in it, but in this instance, he wasn't in it. And so it says, now after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Something that's shaking. Now think about there, God in the earthquake. So it's not. It's just in this case, because God in the earthquake in Paul's day shook and rocked every cell of the prison open. In Peter's day, rocked it all open, right? Knocked it all out, and angels came down, took them all, you know, I mean, he was in that. Right? So sometimes he can be in the wind, and sometimes he can be in the earthquake. Now, y'all just follow me, but he wasn't in this case. So he goes on down, and he says, now, after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. If I stop right now and tell you a story, y'all help me get back on track. Yeah, you know, I told you I finally gave up. Went over to the dark side, got a pair of glasses, put them in my pocket, and carry them all the time. Today I was out on the job site. Carpenters were all working. Saw the lead carpenter over there. He's mad, doing something, thrashing around. And he got one of his guys to come over there and help him. All these guys are about 45. And they were mad doing something. And finally, I went on this. What is the wrong? What's wrong? What's the matter? He says, we can't find the Allen wrench for this screw here. I'm trying to get in there. They're all out there doing this. I said, let me help you. Pulled out my glasses and put them on. I said, you got the wrong one. Not a one of them could see it. I said, thank you, Lord. Got the glasses. The only one that could see anything. After the earthquake, a fire. But he's not in the fire. We want the fire. We want that fuego de Dios, you know, the fire of God to come down. We want to see the fire, the burning, the everything. He can be in the fire. He was just in the fire in the day of Elijah, but in this instance, he was not. Then he said, and after the fire, a still, small voice. This is what I hear the Lord saying to us tonight. If you know the still small voice, then you'll know him in the fire. If you know the still small voice, you'll know him in the earthquake. If you know the still small voice, you'll know him in the wind. But if you don't know the still small voice, you can get blown away by the wind, you can get shaken by the earthquake, and you can get burnt up by the fire. That's why it's so important that we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with the Holy Ghost. That we know the still, small voice right down on the inside of us, is that God or not? When in every situation we're doing, when in everything that we see, we look at it and say, God, is that you or not? Is that the voice of reason? Is that the voice of wisdom? You know, is this the place I'm supposed to be in right now or not? Is this where we're supposed to go or not? Is this the road we're supposed to take or not? No matter what it is. Somebody's coming up and telling you something and you can stop while they're talking and look down on the inside of you and say, God, is that you? Are you saying that? Are you? Are you? Is that you or not? Is that warning that person's saying just coming from fear in their own heart, or is that really you using them to speak to me? You got to know it. You got to be able to discern the still small voice of God on the inside of you to know what's the truth. And folks, when you get that, that is the most precious, precious, precious gift you could ever have. Because then you can discern everything else. Everything else. You won't get tripped up. Now, I'm not going to say you're not going to go through hard times. I'm not going to say things aren't going to happen. But you'll know how to maneuver through it. You'll know how to maneuver through that situation. Amen? I believe these days that we live in, it is the most important thing in the world to know God's voice. I mean, you can't afford to not, can't afford to miss it. Amen? Still small voice. You got it, then you got it all. Okay? So, add to it. I mean, spending time. You got to take time. You got to take time in prayer. You got to take time being alone. You got to take time praying. You got to take time worshiping. You got to take time to learn to develop, to hear that still small voice. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God.